Ordered this special meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
Mr. Secretary, roll call, please.
Okay. Commissioner Gerard, I am here. Commissioner Summers?
Present.
You're here. Commissioner Estelle?
Here.
He's here. Commissioner Kobluk?
I am here.
Yes, but a bear too. Commissioner Longton?
Here.
Commissioner Pike?
Here.
Commissioner Poole?
Present.
And Commissioner Lundy? Yep, she's here.
We got us a full house.
We do.
Christ almighty. Oh boy.
All right. Next on the agenda is a discussion of proposed regulations regarding cannabis establishments. Would someone like to make a motion to have just an open discussion without the need for Robert's rules?
I make a motion that we open the discussion regarding the cannabis regulations.
Second.
Okay, first by Commissioner Longton, seconded by Commissioner Poole. All those in favor?
Might as well.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion passes. We may begin. All right, so we've had these regulations before us for probably about a year now. We've put a moratorium in place, but the moratorium expires in April. So tonight the purpose is to have a working meeting where we can discuss where we want to go from here. I think probably a good starting point, rather than going page by page through the regulations, is just to get a sense of where we all feel, you know, do we want to implement regulations that are specific to, you know, different zones and different areas? Do we want to
I'd like to offer something up that is a germane. One of the things that we are potentially allowed to do is cultivation. And I just like to let everyone know that the growing of cannabis is extremely water intensive. It takes 5.5 to 6 gallons per plant per day to grow this stuff. And I'm also the chair of the WPCA, and I can say that a cannabis growing establishment in the town would put a severe crimp on our ability to provide water to the residents.
Just one would do that?
Pardon?
Just one facility would put a strain, or multiple facilities?
Well, there are two different sizes I propose. One which is 15,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. That would totally tax us out. Mm-hmm. And the one which can be up to 10. That would be a very difficult strain and leave very little room for town development.
That's if you're hooked up to municipal water, right?
Yes.
But if he's not hooked up to municipal water,
then it isn't a problem for the town.
Because there's a lot of farms around here have their own water source, because the farm right across the street, they have a really good well.
Can they afford to do 6 gallons of water per day?
Hell yeah, that's you call it a nice artesian well, the water squirting out the ground.
I think a good place to start might be to talk about the different types of districts that we have, and see what the appetite is to have any sort of marijuana-related business in those districts, and that way we can kind of scope our conversation to where it's most pertinent.
You want to just take
should we go down the road
census on this, Sarah?
Well, actually, the package that was put together, the cannabis regulations for the Council of Government Towns.
Mm-hmm.
There is a page, and I apologize, I don't know what page it is. It's about a third of the way through, where there's, I think it's part of another town's regulations, maybe.
Is that the one for Colchester? Yeah, that right here.
Where there's a table and it has residential districts, commercial mixed use districts, industrial, green, so mm-hmm. on and so forth. And then it has the different types of cannabis related businesses.
Where is this? It's almost halfway in the past.
Is that five? That's one of says cannabis regulation.
Yep.
Da, 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 as of 9/25/23.
Yep.
Okay.
It was the third attachment. There were 24 pages in it.
Page 9 of this document.
Which one?
Page 9. This one right here, huh?
Yep.
There's this one right here.
Yeah, I got it.
It's that town of Butter on top of it, and they went for town of Kent. No, Chester.
Yep.
That's the back of it?
Six.
Can't see it.
Seven.
I mean, does that seem like a reasonable way to kind of start so that way we can scope our conversation to the pertinent areas?
Would you like each of us to say what we feel?
Sure.
All right. You want me to start?
I would like you to start.
Okay. We already have in town, I think, what would be classified as a, one of these definitions. Is a dispensary facility,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, hybrid.
Yeah, hybrid retailer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that now that that they would also be classified as a retailer, because you can buy recreational marijuana there now too.
Yeah,
that's why it's hybrid.
Yeah, okay, so it's hybrid?
Yep.
Okay, so we have a dispensary and a hybrid. I personally would not be opposed to one more such facility, but I don't think I'd want to see anything other than one more such facility in town would be my own preference.
Thanks, Jeff. John, are you ready to speak on it?
I mean, I think I'm on record for saying that I would be opposed to limiting the town to one, which is the current botanist. I think that there is room. Montville is a very big town by square area, and I think there's room to allow additional retail or hybrid, however you want to say it, establishments. But I would also recommend that we limit that to one additional. And my rationale for that is Montville is surrounded by many towns that are also offering, I'm not sure if it's just medicinal or if it's recreational or both, but in any event, there are plenty of opportunities to go elsewhere and outside of the town of Montville in order to do this. So my opinion would be to allow one additional and then cap it at that. And that's my rationale for it.
Now that's for retail or medicinal, sort of like the retail.
Hybrid.
Right. Hybrid, yeah.
So recreational and
retail.
I'm sorry?
What about strictly retail?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So non-medical? I thought they kind of go hand in hand.
Where I was going with that is, what about like manufacturing or growing?
I didn't know. Are we going there? Chuck didn't opine to his opinion on that, so I wasn't sure if we were going down that road.
Let's start with retail.
Yeah.
That's what I think we probably need.
Because that's a little thing.
It narrows the focus a little bit.
Sure.
So yeah, I would be opposed to limiting to one, but I would be also be opposed to having more than two, for lack of a better.
And may I just point out that they are separate licenses. So it's a separate license for a retailer and a separate license for medical hybrid retailer.
So it can't be a combination license?
What they have here is a hybrid, medical hybrid retailer.
Yep.
But a retailer could come in that did not provide the medical portion of it. So there are two separate licenses. And in your packets, I went through and gave a list of all currently applied for licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Some are provisional and some are current, so you could see what's
current applications out. In the town of Montville?
No.
Oh.
All over Connecticut.
So you can just see how many people have actually.
Yeah, that's all those are blue charts that we got.
And out of curiosity, how many applications are currently being reviewed for Montville, town of Montville?
No.
Zero.
Yeah.
So we're here to set regulations. There's
Well, we never know.
Well, you know, I understand that, but I mean, certainly.
Well, you have to think about it. Take a lot of cash to start running those things.
Of course.
You know, just not no guy says, "Hey, I'm going to start myself, you know, a dispensary." He's going to have a lot of backing.
We have to understand, too, that it's still not federally legal, too. So yeah, the feds could at any time come in and shut all of it down.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Spoken like a banker.
How did you know? That's my opinion on hybrid. And thank you for the correction, Meredith. I would say that we would need to limit retail. Boy, that puts me on the spot, though, doesn't it? I don't want to limit the another retailer that also wants to be hybrid. So I don't, you know, I think the one and they go one in the same.
I agree. I see them sort of in the same vein.
So a similar license or licenses to what the bottle
says. Well, that's a big problem, especially when they have heard people like that, especially the ones who are medical marijuana, when you open up, when it became a hybrid. They said, they go there and they said, for Pete's sake, oh, you know, when it's everything else, there's a shortage now, you know what I mean? Of a product. Right now, trying to keep up with it, you know, with the product for people with migraine headaches and whatever else, they're having a shortage right now. And you know, it's like this. A medical marijuana, just the thing there. For this product, $40. If it's recreational, the same product might be sell for $60 or $80. And they also have to pay a tax on it. Where medical don't pay no tax at all. You know? So that people buy the stuff and they say for medical go in there, they use the same product, they said, what the heck? Oh, we don't have that.
Can I make a comment? For zoning regulations, I do not believe we can say we can only have one more or two more. In order to limit the number of facilities, I think that would have to be an ordinance by the town.
I was thinking that we're going to have to run it by the attorney.
So, I think
what we could do is recommend an ordinance.
Yeah.
If we wanted to limit it, I think it would have to be an ordinance.
Yeah, and I'm only one opinion.
Yeah, so make it a special use.
Yeah. And then you call
only
it
by approval.
I doubt if I was going to move one thing. I'm going to start the old cucumber farms. Start one right there at Old Cumberland Farms there. Nobody's going to start another dispensary there. You know? They got to start one. That's where we can think about. About Montford Manor, because distance and everything else.
Well, let's get a quick pulse on how everybody feels about this retail/retail hybrid. So
there's 118 of these that are open.
118 that are open.
Right, currently.
Those are all, they're open. They're not just prospective licenses?
No, they're applications.
Applications. Well, none for Montville, though.
No.
Okay. But my opinion with the retail is they should do it like they do with the package stores.
Exactly.
Yes. Because with the state of Connecticut says, this town only has this population, and they can only open so many package stores. Like Union, Connecticut, they have this population, they cannot open up no package stores at all, you know, and everything else.
You know, the other thing is like with the package stores, you know, it didn't dawn on me until just before holidays. Package stores have to be closed on Christmas and New Year's, mm-hmm. and they have commercials. Hey, you can buy your weed on Christmas and New Year's. So, what's really the difference here? You can go out, get alcohol and drink, or you can go get your weed. So it's...
One gives you a hangover, the other one doesn't.
All right, Wills, you're up.
Wills, what are you thinking?
So we're talking about retail. I'm not a big fan of it anymore, and I'll tell you why. Unfortunately, Montville, and I work at a very large company, is known for 3 Dunkin' Donuts, 2 McDonald's, and two Dollar Generals.
Yeah,
that's not really something you want to hear. that's what people think of Montville. Not everybody, but I think the hybrid serves a purpose for the community currently. I think John makes a good point with regard to the proximity of other places to buy these products. They're right next door to us, New London, Norwich. I'd be willing to understand a little more about the volume of business that the current hybrid is doing before I were to make a final decision on another retail, but my gut feeling is it would be no more retail. It just, we don't want to, I feel strongly about the development of the town in the sense that we just don't want to be the town that can, you know, just multiplies what we have. You know, we need to be a little more invested in doing more things that I think that could bring people like electric boat people to Montville. Like, seriously. I mean, I'm being very, not cavalier here, I'm being serious. But I'd like to know more about the hybrid current and what the volume of business is. So I'm not going to say no, but my gut feeling right now on retail is just stay the way it is.
I think we heard that hybrid expected their volume to decrease as retail goes up in the surrounding areas.
I've heard that, John, but I don't have any facts to back that up. Yes, I've heard that. That's my thought on retail.
Okay.
Which is the point that he was making about limiting the number of locations, tying it to the population.
Well, that's a state issue rule, not ours.
Well, it's the same thing.
But a town ordinance could mimic something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't think this needs to be an ordinance. I think it needs to be by special use permit.
So that would require us to make a decision every time an application came?
Well, first of all, like pack stores, you can only open pack stores in certain areas. You know, you can't open right across the high school, you know.
But we have that same kind of opportunity to rule that out.
Yeah.
You know, from being close to schools, close to church, you know, our regulations allow for us to regulate that, to stipulate that.
And this is not to challenge you as genuine curiosity, but are you worried about us needing to make those same decisions every time? Like, I'm concerned about consistency. Mm-hmm. So I would be concerned if we had to have all of these applications come before us and we had to make a decision per application.
I don't like that.
That's my only hesitation on that one. And I wonder, do you share the same concern, or do you see
I see your point, and I would like to see us have, first of all, presumption is that the hybrid store will stay there and continue and be thriving. So sometimes when we talk about these regulations, we got to take into thought that that might go away.
Mm-hmm.
And what would our regulations do then?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I like the hybrid there. I think it works well. We haven't had any issues that I'm aware of in the town. Hybrid moving into the retail is a good thing for us. If we had another retail, I would want it to be off of Route 32, run 85, someplace, something. I think our size warrants we could have one more place, but I certainly would not want two. In addition to the hybrid, I would not want two in this town. I'm sensitive to what Wills is sensitive about, the perception of the area, but I think that is being diluted by every other town getting two or three, and I'm of a different generation than many people.
Now, you can put a distance in the regulations. They can't be within so many miles of each other, but you couldn't put in there no more than 32, because if they're allowed in a zone.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something I was thinking about, because the draft regulations has distance requirements. I'd be very interested as to how does this lay out on the zoning map.
Mm-hmm.
Put in these distances. Okay, we have...
Here's the circle it could be in.
You know, we have 20-something thousand parcels. Okay, are we down to 10, 100, 500? Based on these distances, okay, from schools, from residential zones, and all that. So that could establish which zones does this fall in.
So if you think about Route 32, for example, I think that's been identified by this commission, many other, the town council, as an area that we wish to see thriving. So if you consider Route 32 for just a retail establishment or a hybrid establishment, you got St. Bernard on one end.
And the draft regulations right now, 500 feet from residential zone, so that's going to wipe out just about all of 32.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of residential zones coming in and out.
What's the regulation for a pack chart near residential zones or schools or anything like that?
I didn't.
Our regulations?
Yes.
Don't address that.
Okay.
So that's something I would like to see, is like a map of how these draft regulations lay out with our zoning map.
Only one left.
Do we have the capability to do that at this time without a director?
We are in the process of outsourcing our GIS, so that would be a project for that company.
Right. Yeah.
That they would have to do.
Which probably assuming that it wouldn't be able to be done before the moratorium runs out.
Can't we extend the moratorium?
Yep.
We can.
Yeah.
We
can.
So it's always an option.
We can extend it.
Yep.
And we can go on the GIS currently and do an abutters list. So like, if we had an address, we could do an abutters list of five, and it would give us a red circle.
It would give you an approximation, you're right.
Right. So, I mean,
I think it would be good to see.
A couple, I could put in several addresses. I could obviously do one for the address on the 32, but.
Off, John. Turn the phone off.
Yeah, just ding-a-linging.
But we can see, like, okay, the boundary of
right.
the 1,000-foot, 500-foot, where that falls.
Like
right.
Find daycare, lumping
to exactly.
St. Bernard's for kind of give you an area of what.
So, Joe, you would want more GIS info before making a decision?
I think so.
Okay.
Just so I can see how these distances lay out.
So just give you a little, so the current place is within 500 feet of the public safety building, the police department. It's 967 feet from that daycare facility. I did measured it one day.
Right, and it's less than 500 feet to a residential zone, too.
Right.
So it's.
But it's also not supposed to be within 500 feet of a public municipality either, building. Mm-hmm. But we're grandfathered. I mean, there's
right.
some things
it's
going on.
Non-conforming use.
Josh, you've waited patiently.
Well, the way I see it is, who are we to say how many of whatever somebody wants to come in and put in this town? Okay, you got restaurants that serve booze, you got package stores that serve booze, you got bars that serve booze, mm-hmm. all within 200 feet of residential zones, or right on top of residential zones, or in residential zones, for that matter.
Yeah.
So, how can we regulate and tell somebody, oh, you can't build a dispensary, and you can't open up a dispensary because we don't want too many in town. That's just like saying, okay, you got to close your package store, you got to close your package store because we only want one in town. So, I mean, that's the way I see it. Is mm-hmm. how can we regulate that when alcohol, which has proven to be far worse than marijuana, but, you know, that goes to, you know, that's because it's been legal for so long. In my opinion, that should have been prohibited, and we should have been legal a long time ago, but who am I to say? But as a town, we need to really think about not limiting it to be able to, open up free enterprise. You know, it's just like you name your price for your meal, your friendly pizza, you name a price at your package store, for your 12-pack or your bottle of booze or whatever. Everybody has their preference. And why should they have to drive to the other side of the town to get what they want when they can just drive, a mile or a quarter mile?
Because all these things are double-edged sword.
I mean, you look at, like, in the Manor, okay, for instance, Goodbye Charlie's Liquors. That place has been there since that establishment has been rebuilt since it burnt down. Back in, what, 82 or whatever it was that it burnt down? But you got a restaurant that serves booze right in the residential zone. It's not like it's outside of the residential, it's in the residential zone, you know, and it's a staple there. Mm. You got the booze, you got the packy, you got the Oakdale pizza, you got Chinese, or you got gas right down the street.
That also serves booze.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, every gas station you go to, most of them sell booze out nowadays, mm-hmm. you know.
The one thing that I would add to that, which makes this a little trickier to consider, mm-hmm. is that alcohol is federally illegal. Marijuana is not. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was saying. But eventually,
alcohol is federally legal. Marijuana is not.
Yeah, not like federal government said, okay, forget it. Marijuana is legal. It's up to your state. And like that's Mississippi said, we don't want that.
Well, that's just a business risk, isn't it?
Pardon?
That's correct. Just a business risk.
Yeah.
So I actually feel similarly to Commissioner Pavlak. Mm. I feel as though, you know, as long as an establishment falls within our regulations, I don't feel as though we should put a moralistic limitation on it. And I feel that because retail and hybrid retail establishments are now more prevalent in other towns, the risk of having a negative public perception of Montville has greatly decreased. In addition, we haven't seen any applications for this town, certainly not to say that there won't be any, especially if we do have regulations or the moratorium ends. But I'm not concerned with the town being overrun by marijuana establishments. So usually I reserve my opinion, but it's an open conversation this evening.
So we should also consider whether or not it is important to the members of this commission, the question of the legality at the federal level.
That is a good question, yes.
Do we want to ignore that or not?
Yes.
Well, the big thing is, if you're not growing it, you can't get busted. But what the hell do you care?
So I mentioned to Commissioner Stell earlier, when he mentioned that it was legal in Connecticut, but not on a federal level, he sounded like a banker. And what I meant by that is that we sort of have to deal with the same thing in banking. Are we going to bank marijuana-related businesses? Even though the state says we can, the federal government says that we can't. And while we may not be prosecuted for it or penalized for it in any way right now, there is always the possibility that we could be. If the administration changes, if the Department of Justice has a change, there's no guarantee, basically, that our business with a marijuana-related business would be acceptable under different conditions. Mm-hmm. Did I summarize that
pretty
appropriately?
Much. Yep.
Again, that's just a business risk, isn't it?
Okay.
You, as an individual that owns property, cannot, if you have a mortgage through a bank, allow a marijuana facility to go in. You can't.
If you
own the property and you have a tenant that wants to sell marijuana in your building and you have a mortgage through the bank, you cannot do it.
Unless.
It's on my mortgage application that says that?
It is in your loan agreement.
So if you got a mortgage,
you can't do it.
Right.
And if we find out that we can, we have to demand your loan. So that's how, and I'm putting my banker hat on, that's how it looks from the banker's perspective.
So the banking industry is particularly in this area. I think there's one bank in the general area that will bank marijuana-related businesses.
Is it a bank?
It is.
Or is it a credit union?
I can tell you offline which one it is.
Okay.
But. Yeah. But just the banking industry in this area in general has taken a very risk-averse,
yes.
literal interpretation of marijuana-related businesses.
Yes.
Those are just business risks for the bank.
Mm-hmm.
For us as a commission,
yep.
land
Greed.
Use
mm-hmm. Greed.
Is what we have to stay and focus right. on. Appropriateness that we feel for our community. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The fact that the federal government hasn't caught up with society, not my area of concern.
I guess what my overall opinion is, that all of this could be moot if the feds decide we're going to enforce it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen.
That'd be the day, wouldn't it?
I would think
because
so.
Because there's a lot of deaths.
Well, but honestly, that happens every year with at the state legislature. New bills sure. come out.
Yep.
The regulations have to be amended on a regular basis.
Yep.
To coincide with those regular.
The no, state I'm right. Yeah.
There's really a lot no different.
Congress like this.
All right. So we have spent just about half an hour discussing retail.
What was the numeric consensus?
Wills has it.
I did write it down. That's correct. I wrote it down.
Would you care to share?
Sure.
Sorry, put you on the spot.
No, you're not.
It's okay. Chuck and John said one more hybrid. They were good with that. I said stay current. John P., maybe across town, Route 85. Josh, no restrictions. Sarah, no restrictions. John just charges. I'm assuming is no restrictions.
No restrictions, yeah.
You know, that's what we got.
The market is gonna you call it a
yep.
you know, controlled by the market.
Mm. I should have said during my comment too. I'm not naive to the fact that this is a little bit of a complicated issue when it comes to the town and everything. So I would be amenable to putting some sort of restriction in place. I do think we need to have I think I'd be comfortable coming to sort of like the package store equivalent mm-hmm. where, you know, per our population, we have this many establishments and they're regulated in a certain way.
I think that works on the state level because it's uniform across all the towns and counties.
Mm-hmm.
If Montville institutes a similar thing and the adjoining towns and counties don't, then I think we're at a disadvantage in that regard.
Well, it would be the same if we were to say, okay, we'll allow XYZ and the other towns don't. There's going to be some variation either way, but I do take your point.
Well, you heard that. Instead of Connecticut, they're going to try to find a position called the cannabis czar, the guy who is over all the cannabis in the town. That's, I mean, for medical and whatever, he watches over the whole thing. You know, the open position is like between like $75 and $130,000. Boy, that's a good job.
Maybe we can get something like that for nail parlors.
A limitation?
No, you're going to have a bunch of women complaining.
As the only woman here, I say no.
Well, there's an awful lot of them.
Only woman on the commission. Let me correct you. I'm sorry.
Correct. No. You are very
actually,
correct.
I think that the statement, I forget who said it, the free market will take care of a top number.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an accurate observation. But by the same token, we need to decide what we think is proper for us
mm-hmm.
as a town.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I don't think that as much as I say one more, I don't think it's appropriate for us to say how many. And yet I think a limit of some kind is necessary. So I would be in favor of requesting the town council to mimic the state law.
I like that.
I would agree with that.
To mimic what state law?
The state law limits the number of package stores in a town based upon the population.
Per capita.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then let the free market take it from there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not
is
bad.
Anyone
so in that case,
strongly opposed or
if you followed that same logic, how many package stores do we have? That's how many. That's how many retail establishments.
It wouldn't have to be the same number.
No, you just look at university. You go up, you got Department of Consumer Protection. Tough for every one of them.
I know what you mean, but the number would be greater than I'm comfortable with.
But Chuck, are you saying maybe the ratio could be different?
The ratio could be different.
So we could have, you know, whereas the town maybe has one package store for every 10,000 people.
Are we abrogating our responsibility to the council then? We're not giving
sure.
them our...
I don't think so. The reason being is that this commission doesn't have the authority, as she pointed out, to limit the number of a kind of business.
Connecticut General Statute 30-14A, one package store for every 25 residents, 2,500 residents.
2,500. Yeah, you can see how many for Connecticut.
What are we proposing? One for every 25,000?
Right now, for package stores, it's one package store for every 2,500 people in town.
Eight times.
You can say one for every 25,000 residents.
Got it.
I'm good at math.
That means there's only be one.
2,500, not 25,000.
Yeah, 2,500.
Well, following the, so now you're discussing the ratio. One for every 25,000 gets you to one. One for every 15,000 gets you to.
We could suggest the ratio to the town council, but we can't set it.
I hate to pass it off to another body.
Yeah, we don't have the authority to set it.
Yeah, we can't.
Don't worry about it.
I don't think we can put that in the zoning regulations.
No, we can't.
By state statute.
Which is why I suggested that the town council adopt an ordinance modeled on that.
Well, then why not just keep the prohibition we've got in place and make it permanent?
It's an option.
There's a moratorium.
Yep.
And you're sitting on it.
That keeps us where we're at.
And
says no new ones.
Yep. That is something that we could do. But
we could do that, or else one in 2,500 is eight more, because it's 20,000 people.
That
Montreal.
Seems excessive.
I don't know if...
That just seems like a lot of pot stores.
That seems very excessive.
But I don't know. You could say the same thing about...
Package stores
too.
Restaurants,
gas stations. Like it's interesting.
The market.
Right.
Yeah, the market's
going to dictate it, whether you get one more or 20
that's
more.
Right.
Or
that's true.
So in
that's
the past, right. We did bring this to town council, and unfortunately nothing really came of it. We had asked for their opinion and their input. What does town council want to see in terms of retail? And we got nothing. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's hard to make regulations if we... Right. On our own, as a commission. I personally would like to work in concert with town council and see what their appetite is and what, and then we can make zoning regulations. I feel like the entire burden is on us about whether or not these types of businesses would be allowed in town, and I don't feel that it's appropriate for our commission to make that decision. I would prefer to make zoning regulations after town council has voiced either officially or unofficially what they want to see for the town.
Also, what the public thinks about
it. Right. Town council, economic development, that sort of thing. So I'd like to make a suggestion that we make no movement on retail and retail hybrid businesses at this time until either town council or economic development has a stance, or if they don't make any sort of movement towards that by the time our moratorium expires, then we extend a moratorium or place a new moratorium solely on this type of establishment. I believe that we can come to a consensus with the other types of establishments, and that's sort of more in our area, in our authority. Is anybody opposed to that?
No, but I think what we need to keep in mind is these establishments, they're not like... these little Cracker Jack boxes.
Yeah.
These are pretty elaborate establishments that have to run on cash only.
Yeah, they
can't go to the bank and get money, so they have to have cash to back it up, which means there's not going to be that many establishments popping up because you can't just go to the bank and get a loan to open up a
dispensary.
It has to take a lot of capital.
Finance.
So I said the free market will
left and right.
Yeah, it takes a lot of capital to start buying those things.
There's people that will finance those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to open one up, you're talking... at least $1 million, if not more.
Yeah.
Based on what I've seen, I mean, just the buildings themselves and
federal
the way they have to
finance things.
The way you have to go about getting it, it's not like you're at the package store where it's all out right in front of you, you just grab it and go. No. You gotta look at it, and okay, we'll
go to the safe and get it.
Yeah, you know, you just look at it. You just look at a little thing, you don't see it, you know, you don't look at the bottle or whatever. They got you sniff it, you know.
Make it in glass so it breaks. Could we go on to the cultivator?
Okay, let's just finish this. So the problem with going to the council is you're asking their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I can promise you that somebody on that dais is going to say, well, let's go back to planning and zoning and see what they think. I'm not really comfortable talking about this. And that might very well what happens here.
That might be the case. Or so someone might just strike an ordinance that evening and say, hey, you know what, let's do it.
Maybe we need a joint.
No.
We did in the past ask for a joint working session, such as this.
Right.
And I don't know whatever happened. I think town council maybe wasn't as responsive as
we have a new council, so let's not drag the old one in with it.
Right, so I think we should attempt again.
Trouble with looking back is you don't see what's in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not afraid to pick a line and take it and be overruled by higher authority later, but
I'm just saying be prepared for them to the conversation to just fall flat.
Yeah, yeah.
And them saying,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
whoa, you, planning and zoning, you need to handle this, let us know and then bring it to us.
Well, that's fine.
And that's fine. If they
that's
say
what
that,
they do, that's what they
then
do.
That's fine. I agree with you, all of you, yes.
That's a direction.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I just want to throw that out, though. Yeah, I just yes.
As a courtesy, you want to bring it to them then,
right?
Yes, if they
right,
want to,
because we would like to see
the senior fathers, what
direction they would like to see it go.
The senior fathers would like to go.
You know, in terms of economic development of the town and things of that nature.
All right. So Meredith and I will work together offline to prepare that for town council, and I'll inform. You know, we'll inform all of you what the next steps are.
Okay. Next thing on the agenda.
Strictly on the retail hybrid, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Cultivator.
Well, you mean the person that grows the stuff.
Mm.
Well, it's industrial, right? Okay, how many places industrial they can grow?
Colchester,
right? That little place right there?
Literally, Colchester's building a place right now.
Colchester, okay.
Yes.
And it's multi-million dollar
complex.
That's a lot of farmland there.
They don't grow it in farmland. They grow it in a building.
Yeah, building. You have that. That's a lot of farmland. You just put the building right in the middle of farmland. You grow it. Say it's all hydroponics.
With an artesian well.
It's all, they call it that. What do you call it?
Has anybody seen this building being constructed?
It hasn't been built yet, Josh. It was approved by planning and zoning. It's in the process. I have some friends over there. It's in the process. It's going to happen.
Yeah,
the money's there. Developer's there. It's taken time to put it all.
Attorney Heller did have a packet last when he was here when we were discussing this before.
Yeah.
Yes.
He showed us. You know,
yeah, it's a pipe dream.
Right.
What they're building in Colchester.
Yes.
You know, that's
pretty impressive.
Yeah. No, it's very impressive.
I think a lot of money.
And one of the questions I was curious, but he wasn't able to answer is, so you're building this thing. How many people do you think you're going to be able to supply?
Oh boy.
He going to be able to supply all of southeastern Connecticut? Is this for export to Colorado?
Okay.
That's
all hydroponics. And if you have a hydroponics thing, I mean, those things are all scientific things.
All right. If
plant,
you don't mind,
water,
let's stay
things.
On topic. So, cultivator. Is anybody 100% against any cultivators?
And the reason for that is the water usage. Town of Montville does not have wells for our municipal water. We buy our water from Groton. We have contractual limits on how much water we are allowed to purchase from them.
Okay, how about
in our regulations we have microbreweries and microdistilleries.
Much less water. I wasn't on the planning and zoning
but
then.
But still, a water usage.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
How about a micro?
John, you're 100% against?
Opposed.
Okay. Wills?
I'm opposed.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to skip over either.
No, it's fine.
Do you
have
any comments to add to that?
Well, I'm just, it's a broken record in this town, but the development's not going to happen in Montville until we figure out how to get water throughout Montville. It's really that basic, and it was said years ago by somebody on the WPCA, and we continue to hit this ball around. Water is the key to development in Montville.
Water and sewer.
And so, well, water definitely. I think water definitely is the key to development.
Well, that's if you're having a little quarter inch lots, whatever.
So based on that alone, I'm going to say I'm also opposed. I think we need more water infrastructure in order to support it.
Yes.
John?
My opinion is, like the market, and also that thing, you ain't going to be They, you know, thinking, first of all, thinking of the spite of saying, they're going to have to think about the water. We don't have the water for them. They ain't going to bill. They're going to say, well, you have water for us? And we say, no, we don't have water for us. Well, we can't bill here. Not so much. I'm not opposed to it.
Do you want to place any limits on it?
What do you mean? Well, the only limit is if they okay, if I was going to build an establishment like that and say, I'm going to bill, you're going to go up to town, I'd like to build an establishment, and we need water. And I said, well, we can't supply you with water because we need water for development of the population, you know. And they said, well, since you don't have the water, we can't build it. So much for that.
So you don't feel that any other limits are needed because it'll sort of weed out? Okay.
Yeah, because they'll say, look, that thing. Are we going to build someplace else?
Does the Water Commission have any limitations today on their, on any other business? Like you can only draw 500 gallons per minute from for a car wash?
Not that way, no. What we do have is limits on how much water we can take from the town of Groton.
That's a supply issue.
That's a supply issue.
Do we say we can't, a car wash can't use more than 10,000 gallons per hour?
Okay, the car wash right
so
here.
So nowhere around here do we have that kind of a...
That's correct.
Why don't we have something of that nature that says new business can't use more than...
Because depending upon the type of business it is, the amount of water that would be used would be drastically different. And until now, we haven't had this kind of an issue come up where the amount of water that would be used by this business would severely tax the ability of the town to provide.
Well,
it's simply a matter of, you know, we haven't faced this before.
So
therefore, the
hotels come in and you just let them build a hotel without any consideration of water?
No, we do an estimate on how much water they will need, and we look at our capacity to supply it, and we tell them that.
And any site plan that came in looking to use WPCA for water would get referred to the WPCA.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they would then put in a comment stating...
So a cultivator would come to WPCA.
Cultivator would have to come to WPCA.
For the same usage, and you would return it and say, no, not...
We would say we do not have the capacity.
But our regulations would still say you could have it.
Well, they like they said, okay, I want to build something. I need so much water. Can you supply me the water? And we said, sorry, we can't supply you water. So, well, that means I can't build here.
Yeah, right. We all get it.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I would be in favor of a cultivator because it has to go to WPCA for approval of water usage.
Okay. Would you like to place any additional limitations on a cultivator?
I think it has to be in an industrial park.
Well, it has to be.
The only industrial park that we have in town is down on 85.
Yeah.
And with that, yes, there's no municipal water, but they can put in wells, they can put in water storage tanks.
Yeah.
So it's a cost factor on their side.
Okay.
It's right. But I don't, I'd just like to see us, I'd like to reap the benefit of a multi-million dollar tax.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and another thing is.
Well, hold on, Meredith was going to say something.
Again, you can limit a zone.
Right.
Can't say I only want it in an industrial park.
Right.
Right.
The industrial park is in industrial. It's not in the industrial zone.
Right. Well, wait a minute. Is there industrial areas that are not in the industrial park?
Yes.
Very few, but there are.
I think there's four.
Well, you got that. We call it that's an industrial park.
You got light industrial. You got industrial. So.
What's the most limiting?
Oh, boy.
Light industrial.
That's where I would want to put it.
Okay. Josh?
Marcus? I don't think there should be any limits, but we are limited because of the lack of industrial property in this town. So, the most you're going to see is maybe two, because you're talking... how many square foot was this model in Colchester?
Huge.
Oh,
I think it's I want to say it's 100,000. It's big. I think it's 100 by, I think it's big. It's big, Josh.
I think it's 100 by 50, but it's two-story.
Yeah. That's a large hydroponic plant.
So you're saying naturally cultivators would be limited because of the limited industrial space. So within industrial or light industrial, just let it ride under current regulations.
I mean, I could see it in commercial, but I don't think it's allowed in that.
Yeah, that's a lot of big leaf.
Okay. What is the salt thing? Is that industrial?
Yep.
I'm sorry? Industrial.
Yes.
Joe?
I would be in favor of mimicking where microbreweries and distilleries are located.
Yeah. And like they say,
which would be C2, industrial, and light industrial.
How many microbreweries do we have around here? I mean, right in Mudville.
None.
I know is Salem.
Not even one. Yeah, well, if somebody's doing distillery, boy, those things can be very explosive.
Chuck, do you happen to know off the top of your head if the industrial, if the municipal water system supports the industrial or light industrial zones? Sorry to put you on the spot.
I don't think it does, because our customers for water, we only have around 450 water customers, okay. And they're primarily residential, except.
Except the casino. That is your customer.
Except the casino.
Right. That is your customer.
Mm. Yep.
They paid for most of that infrastructure.
They did.
We're on 32, so...
Can I forget a casino? Right.
You just completed my thought for me.
I think I'm going to change...
That would be interesting if whatever we decide here, then the casino comes along and says, I'm going to put in a cultivator place, and I'm going to put in three stores that can sell it, and
they can do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. It's all sovereign land. We have nothing to do about it.
It'd be done. It'd be almost done by now.
Yeah.
Well, you said let's go around.
So I'm actually going to change my opinion. I'm going to say in favor
of commercial
of cultivators. Yeah, within the current regulations, as long as there's approval by WPCA.
What is the current regulation?
For whatever development is, not for cannabis, but for any sort of development within industrial and light industrial.
Sort of in an industrial area.
Within those zones.
I'm in agreement with that as well. Is provided... The application process would go through WPCA first before it comes to this commission, correct?
Application comes in.
Yep.
Our office refers it out to building, to the fire marshal, to August Health if it was a well, and to WPCA if
okay.
It's water.
And then it comes to us with their comments.
And then you would give comments. And
my point is the likelihood of it getting past Chuck in getting to this commission is very limited. So
it could come before us.
It could.
But we would be informed that WPCA
that everybody else has approved it.
And we would wait on our vote.
That's fine.
I don't have that much power. I'm just the chairman. All I do is I run the meetings, I would set the agenda,
got
it in the shelf.
Understood.
I'm one of five voices.
So you put it in the shelf, I'll get to it. I'll get to it next month.
Well, we do have time limits.
Mm-hmm. We do, but do they?
If they don't get back to us, we can't.
Yeah, we do have to reply within a timely manner.
So check me off as a
favor.
All right, does anybody else have anything to add?
You do, Sarah.
Wells, you want to give us a rundown?
Yeah. Secretary, so it looks like Chuck and I are a no and everybody else is a favor, unless you changed your mind.
Nope.
So it's Chuck and I no, everybody else is a favor.
We would have lost anyway.
What is it? Because we talk about it every day in Montville. What's going? Is that industrial over there where John and Billy are working on the hill at the dam? Is that industrial?
Open space.
Open space. Interesting.
You mean where that
is? That open space all the way behind B&D, all the way to 395?
Without looking, I couldn't tell you.
So
the gravel pit now.
Yeah, but
Okay.
Don't forget, Route 32, you have the Oz overlay zone as well.
Right. So when we talk about commercial development, it's not a secret to anybody up there. They're trying to build a landing space up there of some sort. Remove gravel, but they're trying to move.
Yeah.
They're trying to build a flat area out of a mountain.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a secret to anybody.
No.
What they're going to do with it, I don't know, but that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Commercial pads, as far as I know.
Pardon me?
Commercial pads, as far as I know.
Commercial?
Okay. Data warehouse.
Does it have water?
So, are we voting on these tonight?
No, we're just establishing
a conversation.
That's kind of where I was going with that. All right. So, we've got a general consensus. We know where to go from that, from Cultivator, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know sort of where everybody stands.
How about delivery service?
Oh, that's simple, because that's like meals on a wheel for a marijuana is all it is.
Jack Cochran's got that taken care of already.
What?
So Jack Cochran's got that taken care of already.
Yeah.
Green coach delivery service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing that, well,
doesn't have to be allowed
really,
in our town.
So delivery service is a person that's licensed to deliver from micro cultivators, retailers, and hybrid retailers to consumers and research program subjects and hybrid retailers and dispensary facilities to qualifying patients, caregivers, and research subjects.
Yeah, like
or to hospices or other inpatient care facilities licensed by DPH that have a protocol for the handling and distribution of cannabis that has been approved by the department or a combination thereof. So
I have no problem
either to consumers or research programs.
You can't use Uber, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Can't use Uber.
We're going to go down the line.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about? Delivery service.
From the manufacturer to the dispensary.
It's just like this.
So
somebody puts an order.
Yeah.
They go there to pick it up, and they bring it to your house or transfer it from that thing.
So the business would be located. The business of the delivery service would be located, but not the where the product is originating from.
So why do we
And that business would be located in the commercial zone.
Mm-hmm. What was the question, Joe?
Then why would we get involved in that? That's just a business.
We're not involved in delivery services now, are
right.
we?
Right, exactly.
At all.
It's just the definition of what
involved.
They do.
Yeah.
So is there a general consensus there's no need for us
no.
to regulate?
No.
They do need to do it.
I appreciate including the definition, but there's nothing for us to do with it.
Right.
I don't think I have to worry about it. They're about to smoke in the car and pull them over.
All right. We've got delivery. We did retailer and hybrid retailer. Where else? Micro cultivator.
But well, that would fall under the cultivator thing, too.
What's the maximum?
10,000 square.
Yeah.
That's by what?
Between 2,500 and 10,000.
All right, so we're considering those in the same category?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. What about cannabis food and beverage manufacturing?
That's like distilleries and all that.
I have heard, but I have no proof. But I've heard it from multiple people that they stink.
What?
They literally stink.
I don't know about that.
Like they have a bad smell or an
odor. Well, I tell you something. Those guys that make the gummy stuff. Yeah. I went to that conference, that convention that had a Mohegan Sun. They have these machines. You buy your THC liquid or whatever they call it, and you got your gummy crap. And you mix it together, and it spits out the gummies, and you pack them up, and you sell them to the hippies. That's about the size of it, you know? You know, just have a good ventilation, and it shows up there. You know, like, you know, they passed this ordinance after they did legal marijuana that nobody can walk even with a cigarette down the street because they don't know if it's a cigarette or a marijuana cigarette, because they've set Friday that makes the smoke will go into the office building, and then everybody will be, high as a kite in the place, which is a bunch of BS.
You know, a lot of people pass ordinances that they don't know a darn thing about the industry.
There's already a lot of regulations on. There's more regulations coming up on the building code and fire code side.
Yeah. And a lot of these people don't know about the industry. They just pull all regulations out there and go keep them.
All right. Does anybody want to regulate food and beverage
manufacturers?
No,
because it's going to cost. That's like the Fed. It's the market.
Well, should there be?
Regulate.
That's like a bar, isn't it?
Add additional regulation on top of our normal food and beverage.
Is that
right? Somebody
like the bar?
They would make gummies or stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, they got it's a bakery that make brownies and cookies and
they make the little gummy bears.
Okay,
you know, like that, or little hippie bears.
So you're saying unlimited market to bear?
Yeah, the market's gonna bear. You can only make so much, and there are people that. Well, so much for that.
All right, so John, you are four.
Four.
With no additional limitations.
Yeah.
Chuck, you had mentioned that there's a potential odor issue.
Everybody thinks.
I would like to find out if that's true or not. I don't know if it is, but I've been told that that has a very strong odor. So yeah, I would like to know.
I agree. I would like to also have a bit more research before we make a decision on that.
Only way you're going to make a decision there is find a place in the state of Connecticut that makes gummies and make a tour like you do with a brewery and says, we like to, you call it, see how this works. And you go there and you say, oh, yes, this place smells like,
It smells sweet.
But under our draft regulations, we do have for microcultivators that it has to include a detailed odor control plan.
I remember reading that somewhere. Yep.
Like it.
Yep.
And perfect.
Like it.
Says at their cost.
Yeah,
it.
And that was because of the odor.
Yes. Like it.
So would you be in favor of those regulations?
Yeah.
If the odors are controllable, I'd probably be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Yep.
You're in favor as written.
It's right there. Brown. It's like it's right there.
Chocolate like a brown.
You're well like that, huh?
I'm also in favor as written. Anyone else?
I would just mimic the same locations as the cultivators.
Yeah.
As the what?
As the cultivators, same zone.
Yeah. In fact,
it'll
be
a.
Yeah.
So you are also in favor as written?
The way it's written here, I'm fine.
Okay.
Just so we're clear, that's under 4.11.14.5, right? Number 3.
Well, that's for micro-cultivator, though.
Aren't we on micro-cultivators?
That's for the odor control.
Right. Odor control. We were talking about odor control, right?
4.11.14.2 is where it actually says food and beverage, and they're allowed in industrial, light industrial.
Yeah. So we want to add the odor language from microcultivator to...
We'll put cannabis microcultivator /
right.
And or.
I think that gets
under
you where
14.2.
You want to be. I think it's you waiting on these.
I'm good with that.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Josh?
Pretty open to it.
Yeah.
I don't know of any establishments that manufacture and sell in retail of their product anywhere that I know of in the state.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of anything.
Yeah, because they do it. They manufacture the gummies. They manufacture stuff, and then they have to distribute it to, like, botanical, and then botanical sell. They're a wholesaler. Manufacturer, and then they have to wholesale it. No?
Right. But as far as the manufacturing of food type of...
There's currently 10 licenses applied for.
Really? Instead of Connecticut?
But nothing out here. Bridgeport, Windsor, Norwalk, Sterling.
Well, that means that...
Or Sterling, Connecticut?
Get an application for this geographic area.
Could.
But like Sterling, Connecticut, which is not very far from here, you know?
All right, so it sounds like we're all in agreement for food and beverage manufacturers We're all in favor as written, as long as we add the odor control requirements from the microcultivator section.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, moving on to producers, and I apologize for jumping around so much. So according to the regs, a producer is a person that's licensed as a producer pursuant to another regulation. That's not helpful.
That's a state regulation, not ours.
Yes, so we don't have a definition in here, but we can certainly look it up. Does anybody want to get the conversation started while I look up what a producer is?
Producer, guy produces.
I don't know what a difference between a producer and a microcultivator or a cultivator.
It's a grower.
Well, Joe's looking right now for 21A-408I, right, Joe?
Yep.
You guys so we'll know in a minute.
Working on it.
We're going to know in a minute.
All right.
Eat you.
Can I get the job as being a transporter?
Yeah, you can wipe that thing. For meal on wheels.
I can drive it back and forth.
Yeah, it's a good job for you.
Yeah, good luck in finding it in here. I hate state statutes.
I found the citation, but not the definition.
Yeah.
Ah, boy. Producer. Oh, boy.
I think the citation may be too far zoned in.
Oh, Christ. The product manufacturer, producer probably product manufacturer. Oh boy. Let's more simple when they just grew it in the cornfield between the corn.
So, Meredith, I'm starting to question this section because the two people are not able. Are we sure this is the correct section?
It's the correct section.
I think it's too far zoomed in. We need to back out to where the Connecticut General Statutes do their definitions. I'm not shooting my hand, but this is what I do.
No, I'm fine with it. No, I'm just...
So this is my
brand of
butter. I love
so,
regulations.
Joe, okay, I'm good with it.
Yep. God love
it
you.
It says it's defined in...
Oh, you're a banker. He's in
here. A-420.
No. I'm a lender.
Four.
Not compliance.
We are mortal enemies.
Yes. I'm the fun side of the bank.
424.
The count.
420.
Gun center.
Ellipse four.
Rotten doesn't define it. I'm trying to steal it.
Oh, steal somebody else's?
I think it's just a licensing requirement.
I think a producer.
Yeah, I think it is. I think you're right.
I think it's one of those.
They must make it a licensing requirement for.
I think it's redundant. You got producer and a producer manufacturer. I think a producer does the product manufacturing. That's all it does.
London doesn't define it.
It's not how a producer is, right?
A producer is.
Sure. I don't know why producer, a person that is licensed as a producer.
I would think that a producer and a manufacturer are very close.
Well, in this situation, a producer, manufacturer, and a cultivator is
pretty much the same person. Yeah, it's redundant to me. Redundant.
Yeah, producer means a person who is licensed as a producer.
No, the cultivator would be the person that grows the plant. The producer and the manufacturer would make a product from the plant.
Yes, you know, like the
product manufacturer.
Exactly. Yes. Oh, you mean the guy who takes the leaves and packages them up.
He's the guy who makes the gummies and
packages them up, the leaves.
The gummies.
That's German for gummies.
Who makes the lollipops?
Okay, the...
sucker.
Got it? So producers, they're allowed to cultivate. So it's just a licensing requirement. That's all it is.
Make sure you've got a good, clean record. And
yeah.
No, but they're allowed violation. To
cultivate? Such person is organized for the purpose of cultivating marijuana for a palliative use in the state.
So basically like a pharmacist would be...
Yeah.
No, there's a guy with the hole.
So if I grew a few plants in my greenhouse, I'd be a producer.
Well, you have to be licensed.
First of all, you're
I don't know if that's allowed in residential.
Well, they, no, they said you could grow three, for each person can grow three plants in their house.
That's not what this is.
New regulation. Hmm.
All right, does anybody have any strong feelings on producers?
It's just a licensing.
Pending an actual definition
too much
of what
seasoned
they do.
Weed.
First of all, the producer has to get the license from the state. Yeah.
So would a producer probably wouldn't be a standalone business, right? Like they would either be a manufacturer and a producer.
I think
a producer is a cultivator.
In my opinion, yeah. I think a producer and a manufacturer would be similar.
I agree.
Probably
a producer and a cultivator.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe said cultivator.
Producer and cultivator. Cultivator, not a manufacturer. Yes.
Okay, the producer is going to have to get himself a license.
But we're not going to have a business that opens up as a cannabis producer, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
To this. The regulations I just quickly thumbed through that I gave you. Nobody.
All right, so it's my opinion that we don't need to regulate producers.
Right.
Yeah, I think it'll be regulated in the
state. A cultivator has to get a producer's license from the state.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree.
Got it.
Does anybody disagree with that?
No.
No.
All right, so no need to regulate. Okay.
Did you make progress?
Yeah.
Well, we're almost done. We're down to color and back to that.
All right, I appreciate everybody sticking with this. We are almost done.
I thought we decided retailer already.
Retailer, we did.
We did. I skipped around.
Okay. Keeping us on our toes.
Yep.
Remember, retailer sells to the public.
All right. Product manufacturers, I would be fine with the same as cultivators.
Yeah. Because that goes in line with the...
Cultivator, product manufacturer, have to sell to the retailers.
Well, no.
So
this is the gummy guy, and the guy who takes the leaves and buds and repackages them into cellophane bags.
And manufacturer.
There it is. Oh, they put them in a little glass jar.
That's the guy that makes the gummies.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
And the brown.
He has a producer license.
Oh, they got to do
it. I don't know how we're doing this discussion without samples.
All right. So, in my opinion, a product manufacturer would be similar to a cultivator, a microcultivator, which would be most of us have. I'm sorry. I should speak for myself. Would be regulations as written with approval from WPCA, except I would want to put in the odor. I think we need the odor control system in any.
So John just made a good point. What's the difference between manufacturer and product manufacturer?
I have no idea. Let's
see.
We got many manufacturers.
One is licensed to obtain.
Manufacturer adds or incorporates cannabis into other products or ingredients to create a cannabis product. A product manufacturer is licensed to obtain cannabis, extract, and manufacture products. I mean, essentially, they're similar.
Take the oils out?
Yeah, well, yeah, they distill it, you know, and they get the THC and CBD.
So a manufacturer is putting cannabis into other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, CBD.
And then he's got to dispose
of it. A product manufacturer is extracting cannabis and putting it into any other things.
I would say that if we do regulate them, that we would lump them together.
Okay. See, what it is what they do is they get the CBD oil from the guy who makes the CBD oil and the THC oil, and they sell it to a person, and it said to a friend thing there, and this guy said, I make lollipops and gummies and whatever crap. And the guy, another person says, I eat that thing, and he's a baker, and he makes the cookies and the brownie.
Yep,
and
I think
you got it. Put them in the industrial zones.
You know?
Does anybody see manufacturers and product manufacturers and product packagers?
Okay.
Can we lump them all together? Is there any distinction?
Yes. Very simple. The guy has a little bag.
Let's lump them all together.
All right. How do we want to regulate these?
So are you lumping them together?
Yes.
Okay. The food and beverage manufacturer would have to have a license from the health department, right?
Yes.
That's a separate license.
separate than the food and beverage?
Food and beverage is one.
So you'd have to have two licenses.
And a product manufacturer's
license. And food and beverage is going to have to get a license for home health.
Is another license.
So, yeah. So when the state says that package that says that grocery stores can sell wine, then the consensus might be to the bars, well, you can also put THC in the drinks.
Oh, no, that ain't going to happen.
You know, a little squeeze here, squeeze there. Orange Julius with
You'll still get the hangover if you drink the wine.
Ain't going to happen.
Darn sulfites.
I think, for me, product manufacturers and product packagers would fall under the same regulations as cultivators and micro-cultivators if we add the odor control to the cultivators and micro-cultivators. Everything needs odor control.
No.
Except for retail hybrid.
No. About transporters, probably not.
No. Is everybody in agreement with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Might have reached a consensus on a lot of things today. Yeah.
You know, the same thing with the
did we hit all of everything? Transporters? Is that the same as delivery?
It's a separate license.
But it's a similar purpose? Yes, it is.
They transport it between
establishments, laboratory. Yeah,
the transporter can't bring it to your home.
Right, that's not for consumer.
But why do we want
to? I don't think
we should go there.
No, this is a different type of transporter.
So I'm going to lump together delivery services and transporters, which we've said there's no need to regulate those.
No.
Currently, they're allowed only, I'm saying currently in our draft, we say they're permitted in industrial and light industrial.
Which? For the location of the business? So that'd be like a taxi.
If I can't run it out of my house.
I would want to see what our...
Unless you live upstairs in a little factory.
Our current regulations say about delivery services and transporters, if anything.
Okay, first of all...
I don't know if we need additional cannabis-related regulations on top of what is already in our regulations.
What would be the regulations if a beer company came in?
How does that get enforced?
Why does it deliver?
That'd be my argument.
Right.
It's almost unenforced.
DoorDash. I mean, it's like trying to regulate
DoorDash. So
DoorDash, right.
I would strike any mention of delivery service or transporters in cannabis-related, in a cannabis section of our regulations, and just let our regulations supersede.
Let the state handle it?
No, not the state. If we have regulations in place, and I don't know off the top of my head, I'd have to look. But basically, if we don't regulate related to cannabis, then it would just fall underneath our regular planning and zoning regulations. Mm-hmm. There's no distinction between a cannabis delivery service and a regular delivery service.
Yeah, because the only reason we're doing this is because this is a new kind of business.
Right.
Which we have to have some kind of planning and zoning.
Okay, the delivery service.
Right, so I don't know if we need to pull,
I don't think
pull
so.
It out. I personally don't think we need to pull it out and give it a different distinction from any other delivery service or transporter.
Joe, your point was, how do you enforce it, right?
Right.
Which I think is a valid point. How do you enforce it?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been around regulations a lot, and I deal with that the state and national level. If you try to put something in there, how do you enforce it? You got to be able to enforce it. Mm. If you can't, don't even go there.
Okay.
I'm in favor of stepping away from that.
Yeah. And we're
going to
strike out delivery services and transportation.
Yeah, I'm in favor of that.
As well as producers. All right, so we have come to a consensus on everything except for retail hybrid.
And dispensaries.
And dispensaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. As well as... there's a little bit of variation in cultivators, micro-cultivators, manufacturers, product manufacturers, and product packagers, which are all grouped together, but there's a little bit of differentiation amongst the commission about what to do about those. So I think for this evening, that's probably a good stopping point. We can come back together. We have our meeting at the end of this month, so maybe we can, you and I can connect about what the deliverable will be to the commission next. But we've really limited down the remaining decisions. I'm really happy about that.
We do have some action items, though.
We do.
Okay. Can we go over that for the whole group?
Sure. Do you have a record of it, or do you want me to?
I'll let you read it.
I think there, well.
Consensus of the council and the economic.
Yes. So we wanted to follow up with town council and economic development.
Right. There was an issue with water.
Yes, there was something we needed to research about.
About water.
That stays in, Jeff.
I don't have that as a takeaway, do you?
That stays in.
Well, water was just such a, I mean, we have water down here, but up by the high school, there's no water. Town doesn't have any water, period, except right here. And that is the problem. I mean, we just don't have any water. Everything is owned by squaw. I mean, there's just no water.
Isn't that a pipe issue?
Years ago, John, it was, you know, WPCA, the administrator at the time, wanted to run a line. It was going to be, correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor, I think around $6 million or something like that. Everybody balked, and so we can't afford that. And we're going to move water right up 163 to the high school.
Yeah.
Which would have been probably a pretty good idea, but we never did it. Mm-hmm. So it's expensive to put it in.
Yeah, installations. If you put the pipe in it, you got water.
Well, it's not the it's not the pipe, it's the ledge. It's the excavation that's the cost that every developer tells you. Mm-hmm. You want to run water here, over there, you got to go through all this ledge. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the issue.
Yeah.
We talked about water something, though, right?
What cost $6 million 10 years ago and not cost
12. You have to spend money anyway.
I think it was about $6 million back then.
You remember, it's circular, you know? You spend the money, goes in somebody else's pocket, they spend the money, it goes around, it goes right back to us.
I did too.
Well, how's this high school and those schools up there getting water?
The wells.
Okay.
So
if you connected a pipe and supplied water, what would well water do?
They drink the water.
Where was the well water? Would you suck
it out? Oh, I know what it was.
Hook it into the town?
So across the street, are you familiar with the intersection up there?
Yeah.
So the school has its own wells.
Yeah.
It's a community
that supply tile in the high school.
Yeah.
Squaw, Fair Oaks School, is across the street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then all the way up through Old Colchester, Squaw pretty much owns out the manor, the heights. Mm-hmm. They own all the water facilities. I believe Squaw, I don't know for sure, owns the water in Cottonwood development, too, that was done by D'Amato back in the 80s.
Yep. Yes.
So it's just we're the only self-sustaining entity is the high school and it's school up there. Everything else is owned by Squaw, Southeastern Connecticut Water. Everything, John.
Yeah, they supply mine.
They own it all.
Not a water circular. You drink the water.
Well, Christ, they must own. Town's got a lot of people in it, and SWCA said they've got 450 customers plus the casino.
Right.
Water customers.
But for development, we've got to run water in this town. I
agree. It's the limit.
It sounds so simple, but it's simple, but town doesn't want to pull the trigger on it. And if you want future development, you've got to have those utility. You have to have that utility.
Well, do I need to run water up to the school to get development? I've got water on 32. Isn't that where we want the development?
163. There's plenty of
163.
I mean, there was to move it up 163. I mean, so right now it goes up Maple and it goes up Roseland Hill. Yeah. You know that, right?
Yeah.
And it crosses over
to Millwood.
Right. And that's where it stops.
High school next.
So
I think the high school.
The problem at the high school would have been the catalyst to get the WPCA pipes down 163.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's a state road. There's a lot of logistics involved, but this has been talked about for years. I've been here 30 years, and the mayor's been here most of his life, and it's been talked about. So
I think is the time right for that stuff to start to happen with the...
I can't see any economic development without water in the conversation. I honestly cannot see it.
It's past time to do that.
Water has to be in that conversation.
Yes.
I move for an adjournment.
What was the water issue? We did have a water issue. Right?
I had asked Chuck about whether industrial and light industrial had municipal water.
Right.
He said no. I don't think there's a takeaway in terms of water.
Okay.
The one action item we do have is to, Meredith and I will talk offline, but basically we're going to bring an item to town council and the economic development. Maybe we'll go to economic development first and we can jointly go to town council.
So town council's already had its meeting for this month.
So if we go to economic development,
you can go to economic development this month.
I'm going to EDC.
Our town council would be next month and our meeting would be after that.
Yep.
So
economic development is canceling their regular meeting this month because they're going to do a special meeting where they're doing a presentation on economic development. All of you are going to get an invitation once you get the meeting.
What day of the week?
Tell me it's not the same we had last time.
No.
Is this the Bob Santee?
Yes.
Okay, just be sure how big what day it is.
You'll get an email, John.
I know that, but the trouble is I got a fancy
day. Schedule? Yeah. January 29th.
January 29th at what, 6, 7 o'clock, something like that?
I believe it's 6 o'clock, but do not hold us.
Well, that's it. I want to make sure my dance calendar is not filled.
All right, thank you, everybody.
Meredith, would it be possible to speak to the economic development to have them put the second item on their agenda to get consensus? Yeah, because with a special meeting, you can't change the agenda once it's set.
Correct. Right.
So if you ask them to put that on
after
the presentation,
I will ask.
Like with a special meeting, you can't do anything but that.
Right.
Does this presentation involve rezoning in anywhere in the town?
Not that I'm aware of. I have not.
It was a consultant that came in and talked to economic development. They talked to a couple of people, planning and zoning and Liz, and they're going to give recommendations for how to encourage development. And all right, so we have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second that bad boy.
Everybody seconded?
Everybody jumped on that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you, everybody.